Boker Tov,
Shalom Lechem.
This morning we come to lesson 12. We're going to learn about infinitives. We've seen a few infinitives along the way, and I've said they will be covered in lesson 12, so here we are. Entitled Shamor to Keep. So section 1. Shamor, to keep, or the act of keeping. And another verb there, pakod, to visit, or to come to the help. And we're given three examples. Shamor tishmarun, which means you must carefully keep. Now the tishmarun there, tishmaru, you might recognize as being an imperfective prefix conjugation. Tav prefix, u suffix, so second masculine plural, and the nun is just added on to the end for euphony. It's what we call a paragogic nun, doesn't affect the meaning. Both those words are from the same verbal root, shamar, to guard. Putting those two together like that makes it intensive. You must carefully keep. So that's one example we're going to learn about. Then, pakod yifkod. He will certainly come to help. Pakad is a Hebrew verb that in older translations would be rendered as visit. So he will certainly visit. And when God visits, he comes either in judgment or salvation. And you use context to figure out which of those it is. Then shemu'u shamoach, another intensive form, keep on listening, beginning with shemu, that's a imperative. So there's a u suffix, but no prefix, and that's masculine plural imperative. And then shamoach, the same verb, but with a different form, it's actually an infinitive, keep on listening. And finally, achol basar means the eating of meat. Basar is meat or flesh, and that's a noun. Achol is a verb and infinitive. So in those four examples, in the first two, the infinitive comes first and is followed in both cases by an imperfective form of the verb. The third case, the infinitive comes second and is preceded by an imperative. And in the fourth case, the infinitive comes first and is followed by a noun. And Dobson remarks, a form which can usually be translated using to in English is called infinitive. So an infinitive of shamar, which would be shamor, we would usually translate just as to keep. That's what's shown at the top of the page. Now, a finite verb, perfectives and imperfectives are finite verbs. They've been rendered finite because they've been specified as to whether like third masculine singular perfective or first common plural imperfective, that makes the meaning of the verb finite in a number of different ways, in terms of aspect, in terms of person, number, and gender. An infinitive is not rendered finite. So that's why we call it an infinitive. It's just the verb. That's why usually it'll be, for most languages, it's often the dictionary entry. It's the verb without any specification attached to it. It's a plain vanilla verb, not rendered finite in any way. Now, Hebrew is interesting because it has two different forms of the infinitive, an infinitive absolute and an infinitive construct. And that little list at the top of the page where we had shamor is the infinitive absolute, shmor is the infinitive construct, and one of the most common ways you're going to see the infinitive construct is prefixed with a lamed, so lishmor, which we've seen a number of times. Kom, the verb kum. Infinitive absolute is kom, infinitive construct is kum, add a lamed prefix, lakum. Yatso, infinitive absolute for the verb yatsa, to go out. The infinitive construct looks a little strange. Zeit. It's lost the yod prefix, the first letter, and has a tav at the end. And prefix lamed gives you lut zeit. And then hakbed to make heavy, and its infinitive construct is hakbid, a little bit different to which you can prefix a lamed. So we're going to learn about those types of forms. So section two, the infinitive absolute. Infinitives like shamor, meaning to keep, pakod, meaning to visit, kom, to rise up, and yatso, to go out, are called infinitive absolute. And there are a number of different usages for these. First use, you can use it before the main verb. One, to give emphasis to a statement or an instruction. Now, you've probably heard of this. It's been mentioned in a few sermons. Some of us draw attention to this. And an example here, Deuteronomy 7:18, we have Zakor tizkor et asher asa Adonai Elohecha. Zakor tizkor et asher asa Adonai Elohecha. Zakor there is the infinitive absolute. Tizkor is got a tav prefix, no suffix. This is second masculine singular imperfective. So if you just had tizkor on its own, et asher and so on it be, you will remember what the Lord your God did. Adding the zakor on the front, the infinitive absolute, makes it emphatic. So sometimes we say it's like as if it's saying, remember, you shall remember what the Lord your God did. And this is used, it's over 300 times in the Hebrew Bible that this construction is used. It's a construction that's used in Genesis 2:16, when God says to Adam, you may freely eat of any tree of the garden. So that's using akal to eat, infinitive absolute followed by the finite verb. And then he says, except for the one tree, for if you eat of that, you will surely die. And then we get that construction again. Dying, you shall die. Yeah.
So that's what I've heard, dying, you shall die. But it's not really...
Right, so in saying dying, there we're rendering that into a gerund. And what we're doing with that, yeah, so... So we just don't have this construction in English, and we can't use an infinitive in English because to die you shall die. Well, that doesn't really work for us. Whereas dying you shall die, at least that works and at least captures the repetition of the verb. Whereas normally it's translated into English as you will surely die, you will certainly die, or you may freely eat. You have to use some sort of an adverb to add that emphasis, but then you never get the repetition of the verb. So it's very difficult to translate into English with the same punch that you have in Hebrew. And then the serpent in Genesis 3 says, you will not certainly die, and uses that same emphatic construction to negate God's word. Genesis 43:7, another example. Sha'ol sha'al ha'ish lanu. Sha'ol sha'al ha'ish lanu. Sha'ol there, infinitive absolute. Sha'al, third masculine singular perfective. He asked, with ha'ish as the subject. The man asked lanu, about us. Adding the sha'ol on the front makes it emphatic. Here's where translation becomes an art in deciding how to render that into English in a way that sounds emphatic. The man asked explicitly about us. So this is Joseph's brothers reporting back to Jacob on their return from Egypt, telling Jacob, their father, that this unknown man asked detailed questions about them. Genesis 40:15, another episode. This is Joseph relating his past history when he's down in Egypt in Potiphar's house. Ki gunov gunavti. Ki gunov gunavti. Gunavti, now this is a, ganav is to steal. Gunavti is a form of the verb that is passive that you haven't yet learnt. That will come up in a couple of lessons' time. And so, gunavti, I was stolen, and gunov, the infinitive absolute, makes that emphatic. I was really stolen. So, translator, say, I was forcibly stolen. Exodus 13:19, Pakod yifkod Elohim etchem. Pakod yifkod Elohim etchem. Yifkod, third masculine singular, imperfective. God will visit you. Adding pakod on the front makes it emphatic. God will certainly visit you. And context tells us this is a visitation for good rather than for ill. So visitation can be in judgment or in salvation. Here it's in the sense of salvation because here is God delivering the Israelites from Egypt. The Exodus happens in chapter 12. And Deuteronomy 6:17, Shamor tishmarun et mitzot Adonai Elohechem. Shamor tishmarun et mitzot Adonai Elohechem. You must really keep, you must carefully keep the commandments of the Lord your God. So, that's the first usage when we have the infinitive absolute before the main verb for emphasis. As I say, it's over 300 times in the Bible. And it's one of the features of narrative art that we need to pay attention to. Secondly, it can be used to add an element of doubt or irony to a question. Genesis 37:8. Hamalok timlok aleinu. Hamalok timlok aleinu. So timlok, second masculine singular imperfective. Will you be king over us? The verb malak. And then adding malok makes that it intensive, but since this is then asked as in the form of a question, adds an element of doubt to that. Will you really be king over us?
So the at the beginning is not the.
No. It's a question from the vowel pointing, so it's got a composite shva there. Isaiah 52. 50 verse 2, Ha katsor katsara yadi. Ha katsor katsara yadi. Katsar is to be short. Katsara, third feminine singular with yad as the subject. Yad is a feminine noun. My arm is short. And ha katsor makes it intensive. It's this element of doubt and it's a question with that interrogative hey, a compound shava. So is my arm really too short? So that's the second usage. I don't offhand know how many of those there are. Category B, the infinitive absolute can be used after the main verb. One, to indicate the continuation of an action. So Jeremiah 6:29. La shavat zaraf zarof. La shavat zaraf zarof. Shavat is vain, empty. And zaraf, he smelts, that is, melts down metal in order to make something. And zarof, following it, as the infinitive absolute indicates continuation. So, in vain, or for vanity, or for emptiness, or to no purpose, he smelts smelting. You can sort of think of it as he just keeps on doing it. Or it may be used for emphasis, Jeremiah 22:10, beku vako, so beku there is an imperative, masculine plural, and vako, infinitive absolute, adds emphasis. Genesis 46:4, v'anochi a'alaka gam alo. V'anochi a'alaka gam alo. A'alaka, the verb is Allah, ayin lamed hey, third hey is dropped out. Aleph prefix tells us first common singular. The ka is a pronominal suffix, second masculine singular. I will bring you up. Gam is also or even. Anochi at the beginning is the personal pronoun I. And I might, and you, that is emphatic, it's not necessary because the first person, the person is encoded into the verb, but it adds emphasis. So I myself will bring you up. Gam alo, even bringing up, I really adds emphasis. And the gam adds even more emphasis. And then a wise note of caution here. In some instances, it is difficult to tell whether the infinitive after the main verb indicates continuation or emphasis. And this is a thorny problem that translators and commentators have to wrestle over. And one of the very difficult verses in the Hebrew Bible to figure out is Isaiah 6:9. She gives here an example, and this gets quoted in the New Testament. Shema'u shamoa v'al tavinu. Shema'u shamoa v'al tavinu. So shema'u, keep on, listen, it's imperative, masculine plural. Shamoa, there, infinitive absolute. Al tavinu. Al tells us it's negating a jussive. Tavinu, bin is to understand. So al tavinu, do not understand. Is he saying, keep on listening, but don't understand? Or, however hard you listen, you won't understand. So the first one would be continuation, the second one would be emphasis. And that's a particularly thorny verse. Point number C, when a verb expresses movement, is followed by its own infinitive plus another infinitive, the second infinitive usually indicates an action that is going on while the movement continues. 2 Samuel 15:30, v'alu alo uvako. V'alu alo uvako. Alu, the verb again, Allah, ayin lamed hey, third hey is dropped out. Alu is third plural. They went up. And then two infinitives. Alo is the same infinitive as from the same verb. And then vako, baka is to weep. So they went up. Going and weep, going up and weeping, you might think of it. And they went up, going up and weeping. That doesn't work very well in English. So we have to do something with that. They went up weeping as they went up. So we've turned the bako into a participle and the alo into subsidiary temporal clause as they went up. So this is David and his companions fleeing Jerusalem after Absalom has taken over the throne and they're going up the Mount of Olives. When the infinitive of the main verb of movement comes after another infinitive expressing movement, the sentence usually indicates progressive movement. And this happens often with the verb halak, as we see in these two examples. Genesis 12:9. Vayesa Avram halok v'nasoach. Vayesa Avram halok v'nasoach. Vayesa, he went by stages. It's this idea of decamping and then setting up your camp again. So pulling up camp, moving, setting up camp. Abram went, halok v'nasoa, going and setting up camp. So halok there is used a little bit like we use going. And that's sort of a helpful way of thinking of it. We can in times just throw in going as a sort of little helper idea. Genesis 8:3, Vayashuvu Hamayim Halok Vashov, Vayashuvu Hamayim Halok Vashov. Here we have the verb shuv, to return, here used of the waters of the flood, which the flood turns in the previous verse. The waters turn back. So context, obviously, they're turning back from being at their maximum extent. They turn back, going and turning back. So going in the sense of they were going on doing something, and what they were going on doing was this turning back, this receding. So the waters receded progressively, or you could say the waters kept on receding or something like that. It's the idea of this progressive movement. And halok is used quite a number of times that way, the infinitive of halak. Category D, the infinitive absolute is sometimes used for commands. 2 Samuel 24:12, halok v'dibarta el David. Halok v'dibarta el David. Halok there, infinitive absolute of halak, go and say to David. Deuteronomy 5:12, shamor et yom ha-shabbat, shamor et yom ha-shabbat, shamor, infinitive absolute, keep the Sabbath day. Category E, infinitive absolute is occasionally used instead of a perfective or imperfective form. Genesis 41:43, V'naton oto al kol eretz Mitzrayim. V'naton oto al kol eretz Mitzrayim. Naton, infinitive absolute of natan, to give. Then here used just as a perfective form of a verb. Then he put him, I'll call over all the land of Egypt. So gave in the sense of putting in charge. So this is Joseph's elevation to power. Exodus 8:11, the hakbed et libo velo shama. The hakbed et libo velo shama. Kavad is to be heavy, then comes to mean kavod is the idea of giving glory, but the root idea is to be weighty, to be heavy. There as a hifil infinitive, so the hifil is a form of the verb that is causative, so to cause to be heavy. Here the infinitive used is just as a in place of the finite verb. Then he caused his heart to be heavy, i.e. hardened his heart. Velo shama, and he did not listen. This is the Lord hardening Pharaoh's heart. And 2 Kings 4:43, Akol v'hoter. Akol v'hoter. Akol from akal to eat. Infinitive absolute there. Context suggests it's just being used as regular form of the verb. You will eat the hoter and have left over. Category F, the infinitive absolute is used as a verbal noun to indicate a state or action. Proverbs 21:16, Adam toe miderek haskel. Adam Toe Midderek Haskel. Toe, verb is to wander. A man straying or wandering from the way of prudence. So there the toe as infinitive being used as a verbal noun, what we might call sort of in English we translate it as a participle in that case. Proverbs 25:27, achol devash, achol devash, eating honey. The eating there really, again, the verb being used as a noun referring to the act of eating, which really in English would be a gerund. So this idea of a verbal noun means you've taken a verb and you're then using it in the sense of a noun. Isaiah 22:13, Vehine harog bakar, v'shachot tzon, akol basar, v'shatot yayin. Vehine harog bakar, v'shachot tzon, akol basar, v'shatot yayin. And behold, look, harog bakar, killing of cattle, harag, to kill. Shachot zon, slaughter of sheep, from shachat. Akol basar, eating of meat. V'shatot yayin, drinking of wine. Shata, to drink. So four infinitives there, each being used to refer to the act of that action. Really is a gerund.
So the infinitive is used as a gerund.
In this case, yes.
Does gerund mean verbal noun?
A gerund is a verbal noun, yes. It's and usually in English it's indicated by so the eating of food, when we say that the eating, that's a gerund. Whereas he is eating food. There you've turned the eating, the one eating food, there you've turned the eating into a participle. And it's confusing in English because they have exactly the same form. And you then have to use context to tell whether it's a gerund or whether it's a participle. Or he is eating food, there it's a continuing present form of the verb that has the same morphology but has a helping verb is there. This is... must be very confusing for non-native English speakers to...
So we think of an infinitive with a two always.
Mm-hmm.
Two.
Yeah. So you've seen that in Hebrew, and here we're still only on the infinitive absolute. We haven't yet come to the more common form of the infinitive, which is the infinitive construct. And there's this wide range of uses of the infinitive. And then in G... as if we haven't had enough uses already, the infinitive absolute can be used as an adverb. Rabbah, it became many or mighty. Its infinitive, hifil infinitive absolute. So hifil again is this causative form to cause to be many. We'll learn about that in a few lessons time. And harbe, the hifil infinitive absolute, can really be used as an adverb much more than. It's really debatable, should one even classify that still as a hifil infinitive absolute, or should you really just say it's become an adverb on its own right, because it gets used a bunch of times this way. And so Jonah chapter 4 gets used a couple of times. Jonah 4:11, harbe mishtem esre ribo, harbe mishtem Esre ribo. Harbe there, hifil infinitive absolute, more, or more than the mishtem, the min on the front is comparative min, more than shtem esre, so that's 12. Shtem esre, so shtem is this sort of unique form of two that's used in conjunction with esrei for 12. Ribo, and ribo, as we learned in the numbers, is 10,000. It's the next unit up from elef, 1,000. And so it's more than, and you could translate that as more than 120,000. Or what I'd actually prefer to do is you keep it as more than 12 ribo, and ribo gets translated into Greek as myriad. And I'm not sure we're really supposed to take it as precisely 10,000. And if you leave it as more than 12 myriad, you get the sense of 12, which is a number, a symbolic number in Scripture for the people of God, and myriad, which just means are huge. It's the biggest number there is. And in Hebrew, biggest number there is in Hebrew. And this is what the Lord is saying of the Ninevites. Jonah 4:4, ha-hetev, there we get the hifil in front of absolute of yatav, to be good. Ha-hetev is an adverb meaning well or rightly. Hara-lach, ha-hetev, hara-lach. Hetev, are you, and it's an interrogative hey at the front, is it right, hara lecha, to be angry to you? Hara, it's literally to burn. Is it right for it to burn to you? And it's this idea of burning to you means that your nostrils are burning with anger. That's the idiom.
So that's an interrogative hey in front of the vowel pointing.
The vowel pointing is that way because of the following letter consonant is a guttural. So funny things happen with gutturals. That's aleph, ayin, hey, and chet. Okay. And it can't be the article because it's put on the front of a noun, even if it is a verbal noun. And Deuteronomy 13:15, v'sha'alta hetev, v'sha'alta hetev, sha'alta, you must ask, sha'al, ask, hetev, thoroughly, you must ask thoroughly. Category H, infinitive absolute, sometimes used to describe a state or an action where we might expect a participle. Jeremiah 22:19. Kavurat hamor yikabver sachov v'hashlich. Kavurat hamor yikabver sachov v'hashlich. Kavurat is a passive form of kavar, is to bury. Kavurat, the kavurat chamor, the burial of a donkey or an ass, chamor. Yikaver is a passive form of the verb. Again, we haven't yet learned about that. A donkey's burial, he will be buried. Sachov hashlik, those are both infinitives, infinitive absolutes, dragged along and dropped down. So those are the infinitive absolutes. They can go before or after the verb. Before the verb, the most common usage is this intensive. We have it immediately followed by the same verb in a finite form, and then after the verb in lots of different ways. Now, you're not expected to remember all these eight categories of that, and the most number of cases will be debate among commentators as to which one it's being used. But it's just to know that these are sort of usages of the infinitive absolute. Then we come section 3 to the infinitive construct, which is more common. Schmor, cum, and zeit are examples of a form of the infinitive that is called infinitive construct. And it's the most common infinitive, often has the prefix lamed, meaning to, so lishmor, to keep, lashuv, to return, and lemor, which we've seen a number of times, to say, which we can often translate just as open quotation marks. And the to there isn't the to that we use for the infinitive when we say to keep or something. The to is for the purpose of something, in order to. But we'll see that in the examples that we work through. And this is a very common usage. Lots and lots of these. Well, we got a little list of some examples. Compare these construct and absolute infinitives. The verb shama, the infinitive construct is shmoach, and the absolute is shamoach. Shmoach, shamoach. So, and then just the note that's down below this list. Note the construct forms usually have a shorter vowel than the infinitive absolute, and an infinitive construct never has a long A in the first syllable. So, shamoach there was the infinitive absolute, but that's got a long A in the first syllable, which you can't have in a construct, so it shortens up to a shava. And the holom vav shortens up to just a holom. So the vowels shorten shmoach. Deber, he spoke. The infinitive construct is daber, or daber, infinitive absolute is the same. No change there. Natan, he gave. The infinitive absolute is naton, but that too starts with a long A. Can't have that in the first syllable. And it shortens, and it shortens so much that it disappears completely. And we're left with tate, which is confusing to see because the verb is natan and the first and last nun have both dropped out. But that's one that's common enough that you'll, I think, quickly enough learn to recognize it, especially in the form of latate, which is where you'll usually see it to give. Bana, he built. The infinitive absolute, bano. Again, long A at the first syllable, that shortens to benot, and the he disappears and is replaced by a tav, which we've seen a number of times. Yada, he knew. The infinitive absolute, yadoa. It too has a long A in its first syllable. That disappears so entirely that the whole first syllable goes, the first yod drops out, and the construct is da'at, da'at, and a tav gets added on the end. Haya, the verb for it was, infinitive absolute, hayo, and construct, and that too begins with the long A in the first syllable. It shortens out to a compound shava, and tav gets added on the end, heyot, heyot. Kam, he rose up, kam. And kam is a what we call a hollow verb. Its middle consonant is a yod or a vav, which often disappears. And here the infinitive absolute is kom, and the construct is kum. And finally, hishbia. Hishbia, which is a hifil of Shabbah, the causative, he caused to make an oath. The infinitive absolute, hashbeach, hashbeach, and the construct, hashbiach, hashbiach. Continue to read through the note below. An infinitive absolute never has a prefix lamed, le. So if you're wanting to express to do something, i.e., he did this in order to do that, where the to there is expressing purpose. It's never prefixed to an infinitive absolute. It's always prefixed to a construct. And then a note that in dictionaries, the absolute form is usually given before the construct form of the infinitive. and asks us to look those up in a dictionary. We don't have a dictionary quite handy for us to do that, but later on we have a dictionary exercise. A good dictionary will give, yes, will give various forms of the verb. We'll show what the participle is, we'll show what the infinitives are, and so on.
Would you recommend a good dictionary?
Well, the best thing to use is a lexicon, which sort of serves as a dictionary, and we've got the standard one is one that's called BDB, Brown, Drivers, and Briggs, which has been around for over 100 years. So a little bit later, we'll pull those out. There are probably half a dozen of them in this room, lots of them floating around. So I'll show you what those are. Okay, section 4, uses of the infinitive construct. A, it's used after verbs like hechel, he began, kila, he finished, and yachol, he was able to do something, yada, he knew or knew how to do something, and ava, he was willing. And those are verbs that we expect an infinitive after, and so we would call that a complementary infinitive. And we're expecting it to come along. So Genesis 24:8, Im lo tove ha'isha la leket acharicha. Im lo tove ha'isha la leket acharicha. Im is if, lo negates it, tove, third feminine singular of ava, to be willing. Ha'isha is the subject, the woman. So if the woman is not willing, and we want to know, well, willing to do what? And so in English, we would use an infinitive there. And in Hebrew, you do the same thing. But what you use is the infinitive construct with the lamed prefix. La leket. So leket is the infinitive construct of halak, to go. First hay has disappeared, and a tav is being suffixed. La leket achareka, to go after you.
Is that the law as in for the purpose of?
Yeah. It's sort of, yes, it's the same lamed that's used for the purpose of. Here, just think of it as to do something. It's not willing to go, to do it.
When I hear that too, I think of the infinitive in English, to go, not the...
Well, except that... When we, I am willing to do something, it's a complementary infinitive. It is complementing or completing the be willing to. I'm willing to, well, I'm willing to do what? I'm willing to do this, I'm willing to go there, I'm willing to whatever. We want on to complementary infinitive. Okay. I began to... Da-da-da.
I've never thought this much about English.
Mm-hmm. So that's Abram sending his servant off to Haran, Paddan Haran, to look for a wife for Isaac. Jeremiah 1:6, Lo yadati daber... Lo yadati daber. I do not know, yada, how to speak. Surprised that it's not prefixed by a lamed. 1 Kings 13:16. Now that's the call of Jeremiah. 1 Kings 13:16. Lo ukal lashuv itak. Lo ukal lashuv itak. Lo ukal. Akal is to be able. Yakal, able to do something. Aleph prefix for first person. I am not able to do what? Lashuv, to return. Itak, with you. Genesis 24:15. Terem kila la daber. Terem kila la daber. Terem is before. Kila, he finished. From kala, and we would expect finished what? Finished doing something. La daber, to speak. Before he had finished speaking. And in English, we complete the verb finish with a participle there instead of with an infinitive. And I'm not sure quite how you would explain that to a non-English speaker who's learning the rules of English grammar. Why in some cases you complete it with an infinitive, in other cases you complete it with a participle. Yes. Yeah. Before he had finished to speak. And so that's further on in the story. Here's Abram's servant now is in Paddan Aram at the well. 2 Chronicles 3:1. Vayachel Shlomo livnot et Beit Adonai. Vayachel Shlomo livnot et Beit Adonai. Hehel is he began. First he is dropped out. Vayachel, a continuing narrative form. Shlomo is Solomon. Then Solomon began. Livnot completes that, is a completing complementary infinitive, to build the house of the Lord. Bana, the verb there, to build. So that's very, very common, this use infinitive construct with lamed after these sorts of verbs, complementary infinitive. Point B, the infinitive construct is used after other verbs to express the aim or purpose of an action. This too is very common. Exodus 3:4, sar lirot, sar lirot. Sar, he turned aside, lirot, to see, from ra'ah, see. So that's Moses at the burning bush. 1 Kings 17:11. So this is the lamed then of purpose. First Kings 17:11. Vatelek lakachat. Vatelek lakachat. Then she went. From halak lakachat. Lamed the and. Here, the verb is lakach, to take, but the first lamed has disappeared. Kachat is the infinitive construct of lakach, but we still have a lamed on the front, but that's the lamed of purpose. It's not the lamed of the root. We don't have two lameds. And here, the infinitive construct of lakach is simply kachat, without a lamed. So this is the widow of Zarephath when Elijah goes and says, give me your last food and bake me a cake. Genesis 24:13, Yotzot Lishov Mayim. Yotzot Lishov Mayim. Yotzot, that too is an infinitive, coming out, lishov, to draw water, shav, to draw water up from a well. Again, this is Abram's servant back at Paddan Aram meeting Rebekah. Genesis 22:10, vayikach et ha-ma'akalat lishchot et beno. Vayikach et ha-ma'akelet lishchot et beno. Then he took, yikach from lakach, continuing narrative form, the ma'akelet, the knife, lishchot, shachat is to slaughter, or with a lamed of purpose, to slaughter his son. So Abram offering up Isaac. Deuteronomy 5:5, Anochi Omed lahagid lachem et devar Adonai. Anoki omed lahagid lachem et devar Adonai. And I was standing, omed there is a participle. I was standing lahagid from nagad to tell. Or to relate, or to recount. Nagad, the first nun has disappeared. That's why there's a dagesh, and the gimel is its remnant of the missing nun. It's been assimilated. So I was standing to declare to you the word of the Lord. And finally, Deuteronomy 5:12, Shamor et yom ha-shabbat. Lakadsho, Shamor et Yom HaShabbat Lakadsho. So here, Shamor, infinitive absolute, being used as an imperative. Keep the Sabbath day. We saw that previously as an example used. Lakadsho, verb kadash, to sanctify, to make holy. Lakadsho, lamed of purpose. O is third masculine singular suffix, to make it holy. So, there, lamed plus infinitive construct to express purpose. Point C, the infinitive construct is used as a verbal noun. Here, generally, it's being used as what we would call a gerund. 1 Samuel 15:22, Shmoach mitzvah tov. Shmoach mitzvah tov. Shmoach, hearing, and there hearing really is in English used as a gerund. Hearing mitzvah, then sacrificing, is tov, is good. So this is a comparative min on the mitzvah. Remember how a comparative min works? So it is, one thing is better, is more than the other. So hearing is more good than the zevach. Hearing is better than sacrifice. Hearing really in the sense of obeying. So this is after what Samuel says to Saul, after Saul has sacrificed to the Lord and has refused to wait for Samuel. Isaiah 37:28. V'shivtecha v'zeitcha u'vocha yadati. V'shivtecha v'zeitcha u'vocha yadati. Here we get three in a row, infinitive construct, each with a pronominal suffix on the end. Shivtecha, the infinitive construct of yashav, to sit, is shevet. Shevet here, because we add on a suffix, we get an extra syllable, and so some of the vowels shorten up. So shivtaka is your sitting down. Zetaka, from yatsa, to go out, infinitive construct. You're going out. Uvoacha, infinitive construct of bow, to enter. You're entering. Yadati, I know. And Genesis 2:18, Lo tov heyot ha'adam levado. Lo tov heyot ha'adam levado. Lo tov, it is not good. Heyot is the infinitive construct of haya, to be, the being of the man by himself, levado. Then Dobson notes, common translation of these words is, it is not good for the man to be alone, which is ambiguous. It's not clear whether it means, for the man to be on his own is not good, or it is not good for the man to be on his own.
In 1 Samuel, when you translate the first word, Shemoah, hearing, what version do they use to get obedience? Because that makes it easier.
Well, if you think of If you translate it as heed, so what is implied in our word, in our verb heed? It goes in your ear, and then you actually do something based upon it. So the same thing, that's how Shema works. It is, you hear something, but it always implies that you are doing something based upon that hearing. So it has the same nuances as our verb heed, which generally is falling out of our language, unfortunately. It's a very useful verb, right? So it's very common usage of Shema, and so very often you can best translate it with obey. No, it's usually in the sense of listening to the word of the Lord, in the sense of it's not only going in, but then you're also acting upon it. You're obeying it.
Mm-hmm. So being an experienced, you don't get those nuances. He said, you look at the translation. How did they get that word? And then you turn it.
Well, it's one of the reasons you learn Hebrew. And it's one of the advantages of comparing translations, because when you see a difference across translations, and you might then go and probe a little further into a word and see what it's meaning.
So, Bernard, how do you interpret the Genesis passage? Since he says it's ambiguous.
I would take it the first way. For the man to be on his own, the man being on his own is not good. So in the first one, the man to be on his own is not good. You're taking the Hayot HaAdam Levado, all as one little unit. It's that which is not good. In the second one, it's not good for the man. You're saying Lotov HaAdam, Ula'adam, the Hayot, the being on his own.
It's not good for him. Are there any cantillation marks that would help?
Not really, no. It's pure interpretive decision, just based on context. Yeah.
So which one is infinite construct?
The Hayot. Hayot is the infinitive construct of Hayah. Okay, number D, point D. The infinitive construct is used with time prefixes and time words like b, in or at, k, as of when, ad, until, achare, after, to indicate the time of an action or event. And these are pretty common. Joshua 5:13, Bichyot Yehoshuach Biricho. Bichyot Yehoshua Biricho. Bichyot, so the bait of time, and Chayot, the infinitive construct of Vayah, in his being, we can sort of think, in his being. And Joshua is the subject, Biricho in Jericho. So in Joshua's being in Jericho, i.e. when Joshua was in Jericho. Proverbs 6:22, B'shakavka tishmor alecha. B'shakavka tishmor alecha. Shakav, to lie down. Here, infinitive construct with a pronominal suffix and a bait of time. In your lying down, when you lie down, Tishmor Aleka, she will watch over you. Referring to wisdom, Chokmah. 1 Kings 13:14, Vayehi Kishmoach Hamelech et Devar Ish Ha Elohim. Vayehi kishmoach hamelech et devar ish ha Elohim. Vayehi, then it happened that, then it was that. Kishmoach, the kaf there, as or when, used in a temporal sense. The hearing of the king, i.e. when the king heard. Et devar ish ha Elohim, the word of the man of God. I.e. what the man of God had said. So Kishmoa there, used as a time indicator.
I was very happy to find this 1 Kings find in any in this chapter, if I have any
Right, so we're going to read 1 Kings 13 shortly, yes. Genesis 3:19, Ad Shuvka El Ha'adama, Ad Shuvka El Ha'adama, Ad until Shuvka, your return, so Shuv, return, your return to the Adama, to the ground. Curse upon the judgment upon the man. And 1 Kings 13:31, another one from 1 Kings 13, Ahare Kavaru Oto, Ahare Kavaru Oto. Ahare is after. Kavaru, his burial. So Kavor, infinitive construct, and O, pronominal suffix, his burial, Oto, of him. After he had buried him. So, their infinitive construct used with another time word or prefix. And is a pronominal suffix, third masculine singular. So it's the kavor, his burial, and it's his burial, the burial of him. And E, infinitive construct used after other words that indicate time, for example, bayom, on the day, and eight, at the time that. So Isaiah 11:16, bayom aloto me eretz Mitzrayim. Bayom aloto me eretz Mitzrayim. So literally, in the day of his coming up from the land of Egypt, alot, infinitive construct of Allah, to go up. And bayom, in the day of, in the sense of at the time of. Ecclesiastes 3:2, 8, laledet for 8, lamut. 8, laledet for 8, lamut. A time to be born, a time to die. Ledet is the infinitive construct of yalad, to bear. First yod has disappeared, and the tav has come on the end. And two verses later, 8, livkot, for 8, lishchok. 8, livkot, for 8, lishchok. A time to cry or weep, from baka, to weep, and a time to laugh. F, the infinitive construct used after min. 1 Samuel 23:28, Vayashav Shaul Mirdof Achare David. Vayashav Shaul Mirdof Achare David. Then Saul returned. Mirdof, from pursuing. Radaf is to pursue. There with a min prefix. Achare David, after David. Genesis 4:13, Gadol Avoni Minso. Gadol Avoni Minso. Here, Gadol, great. Avoni can be either my guilt or my iniquity, or my punishment for that iniquity. So one of the ambiguities of this verse, there's a double ambiguity here, is he referring to his guilt or the punishment for that guilt? Min so, here's a comparative min with nasa, and nasa is to bear, to lift up, and can also be used in the sense of forgiveness. So to lift up guilt is to remove guilt from somebody. So this is Cain saying to God, ambiguous, is he saying my punishment is too great to bear, or that my guilt is beyond forgiveness, or my sin is too great to bear? It's very ambiguous what he's actually saying here.
Did I hear you say minso?
Yeah, minso. So the dot on the scene is doing double duty. One is the scene dot, and it's also serving as a holum. Following that, minso. Yeah. NG, the infinitive construct is used after lability, so as not to. So lability is how you would negate an infinitive construct. Genesis 3:11, zivitika levilti achol memenu. Zivitika levilti achol memenu. Notice I said achol, the vowel there for achol, that second vowel is a short O instead of a long A. It's a closed, unaccented syllable. And the achol memenu, there's a meteg binding those two words together. So from an accentual point of view, it's all one word. And the memenu, the accent would be on the men, memenu. I commanded you, levilti, not, achal, infinitive, achol memenu, eat from it. So levilti negates the infinitive. And Deuteronomy, so that's God pursuing the man and the woman, saying, why have you done this? Deuteronomy 8:11, levilti, shmor, mitzotayv. Levilti, shmor, mitzotayv. To not, not keeping his commandments. And we can't really get that to work as an infinitive in English. By not keeping his commandments, he's translated it into a participle. So I'll have to point out that levilti negates an infinitive. So that's the infinitive construct. More common than the infinitive absolute, and used especially with a lamed prefix to express purpose or completing a verb where we expect a complementary infinitive, and then frequently used with b or k prefix to indicate time. Point number 5. Zetika and lekadsho are made up of, so zetika is an infinitive construct with a pronominal suffix. So zet, going out, the action of going out, and the ka, your, their second masculine singular. Lekadsho, here we have lamed prefix, a o suffix, third masculine singular, lekadsho, to make it holy. When the infinitive construct has a personal suffix, the suffix may indicate, and here we have an ambiguity, A, the person who is doing the action, that is, the subject, or the person it is done to, the object. Those of you who are in the Greek reading group, I covered this a few weeks ago, difference between a subjective genitive and an objective genitive. Sometimes it's clear, sometimes it can be ambiguous, which is which. So we've seen A, the bushakavka, at your lying down, when you lie down. So the shakavka there is the ka refers to the subject, the one who is doing the action of that verb. And achare kavro, after he had buried, who's doing the burial? The one, or who's being, the kavro, the person burying, is the one being referred to in the suffix. Okay, it's the subject of that verb. But then when we have lekadsho, to make it holy, the suffix there is referring not to the subject of the verb. It's referring to the object of the verb. To make it holy. It's here referring to, some other entity. Bershakabakha. Bershakabakha. Oh, so Sorry, I've got that wrong. B-shak-baka. And actually, it'd probably be b-shuk-baka. Let's see. Here's where we need an accent. Here's where an actual Hebrew Bible would help us by showing us where whether that sheen kaf is closed unaccent syllable or not. That would probably be b'shok b'ka. B'shok b'ka. Probably b'shok b'ka. B'shok b'ka, with shok there as a closed unaccented syllable, so it would be a short O. So that's in Proverbs 6:22.
The next one also after you have Yadiri.
So it would be b'shok b'ka. Yeah, that's the accented text would show that it's a closed. So that's the first one. And then the other one you want? The kavaru, kavaro.
And why is it not
why is it not kavaro? Because other things being equal, a long A is followed by a vocal shava. But here is where also the accents of a text will help us. So to be absolutely sure of that, I will have to go and look at 1 Kings 13:31. Actually,
how do you remember that word in the Bible?
Because we had it on the previous page. The top of the previous page, Proverbs 6:22. And the other one would be kovro. 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 And but this is where I look at the accented text, which you actually all have, because this is our reading exercise. And the accent is on the ro, and that makes the cove a short unaccented syllable. So there are two possibilities as to how one could pronounce that. It could be kavaru, which is a three-syllable word with a vocal shava, or kovro, which is a two-syllable word. And the accents will make it clear which it is. But we don't have accents in the text here, so we can... Okay, so that's point five, the difference between a subjective genitive and an objective genitive, and at times it can be ambiguous, and this is a problem also with Greek. In fact, it's probably more of a problem with Greek than it is with Hebrew. As to who, in this case, who the suffix is referring to, is it the subject of the verb or the object of the verb? Okay, so that's all the theory about infinitives. Infinitives are very useful things, and they're common. Okay, we've got about 13 minutes left. And we've got a reading exercise. Any of you worked on this through the week? Mm-hmm. A few of you have. We'll start in on this. Yes, it would be good if we could see if we can do six verses so everybody can have a chance to read. Well, John, okay, so we'll start with you. Verse 1. Good. V'hene ish Elohim ba mehuda b'davar Adonai el beit el v'yarovam omed al hamitzbeach lahaktir. Good. And we're given some vocabulary help. Dobson's book. Can you translate that? So, v'hene, and behold, look. So, hene, I like to think of, if you think of this as a movie, so here, the movie camera is zooming in on this. Ish Elohim. And look, here, a man of God going from Judah, according to the word of the Lord, to Bethel. So, again, thinking of this as a movie, we're zooming in on this man of God, and we see him on the road from Judah to Bethel, which is a few miles north of Judah.
Oh, you said going. So
or coming. Coming, going, well, coming. And again, as I, was it last week, a couple of weeks, it really depends. We distinguish, yeah, so he's coming. So we're sort of viewing him from the point of view of we're in Bethel rather than in Judah, seeing him coming. And Jeroboam, and here too, we're seeing Jeroboam. Omed is a participle of Amad, to stand. Jeroboam is standing beside the altar to offer sacrifice. And that's an infinitive construct with Lamed prefix. And this is a problem because Jeroboam's a king. He's not allowed to offer sacrifice. Well, you could say to offer, well, yeah, to offer a sacrifice, yeah. That'd be okay. Mm-hmm. So, he's the king, but then Jeroboam has set up his own, his whole alternative religion for the northern kingdom. He doesn't have any priests or any proper Levitical priests because they are all in the south, the southern kingdom, Judah. So this is just after the split of the kingdom into Israel and Judah. And he is appointed priest of any tribe that he wants. And he himself is going to offer this. Okay, Sean. Okay, good. Vayikra al hamizbeach bidvar Adonai. Vayomer. Mizbeach. Ko amar Adonai. Hine vein nulad levet David Yoshiyahu shmo. V'zavach alecha et kohane ha-bamot ha-maktirim alecha v'atzmot adam yisrefu alecha. Vayikra al ha-mizbeach b'davar Adonai. And he called out, he cried out against the altar, or we might even say he proclaimed against the altar, according to the word of the Lord, Vayomer, and he said, Mizbeah, Mizbeah, O altar, altar, Koamar Adonai, thus says the Lord, Hine bein nolad levet David. Behold, a son is being born to the house of David, Yoshiyahu shmo, Yosiah his name. Now remember, Jeroboam is not of the house of David. He's gone off and he's formed this northern kingdom, and he's of the wrong line to be king. But down in Judah, God will keep the house of David on the line of Judah, and he will eventually bring along another godly king. V'zavach alecha, he will sacrifice upon you, et kohane habamot, the priests of the high places, hamaktirim alecha, the ones who are sacrificing upon you, Atzmot Adam Yisrefu Aleka, and human bones they will burn upon you. Jeroboam's there at the altar offering up sacrifices, which he's not supposed to do. It's only the priests, but his problem is he doesn't have any right priests because they all, when the kingdom split, they all went down to the south. And the prophet comes along, the man of God, which is way of describing the prophet, comes along and makes this proclamation against the altar, which is really is a word of judgment also upon Jeroboam. But it's really a word of judgment upon this whole religious system that Jeroboam has set up, which is described for us in chapter 12, preceding chapter.
So is he saying that Jeroboam is going to be sacrificed on the altar?
No, he's not saying that of Jeroboam. He's saying that this whole altar, it's going to be desecrated, it's going to be judged, and he's going to eventually raise up a godly king of the line of David, Josiah, who's going to cleanse not just his territory of Judah, but is going to come up into the northern kingdom, northern area of Israel, and cleanse that. And so this is one of the things that Josiah does when he comes to the throne and he does this religious spring cleaning, is he then extends his religious reforms into the north as well, and people from the north come down and celebrate Passover and so on.
So you don't read this as literally they're going to sacrifice people on this altar?
Well, they are. They're going to sacrifice, they're going to offer up human bones. So, yeah, that's how I think we have to take the Atzmot Adam, bones of man. They will burn upon the altar.
Mm-hmm. How long was this before Josiah was actually born? Was he born at the time?
It's a couple of centuries. So, there were 3 centuries. Yeah, it'll be a long time. Yes. Yep. Yep. Okay, well, we're out of time. We did 2 verses, so we'll pick up at verse 3.